Hey everyone, welcome to today's episode of Behind the Signs. I'm Joe Arenella and I'm here with...
Me, I'm Liz Arenella Toynes, which is important today.
Yes, it is important today. Why is it important today, Liz? Why don't you tell us about it?
Sure. Today, we're talking with one of my favorite people.
He's a pretty good guy.
He's all right. Anyway, today we're talking about... You know, a little bit more about naming and branding and really doing a deep dive into why that's so important for your company. And to talk about that, we are bringing in my better half, my partner in crime, my business partner, my husband, my best friend, Russell Toynes, the co-owner of Studio Zo.
And my favorite son-in-law, technically my only son-in-law. So we definitely have a little nepotism going on today, but I just feel like he's just a branding expert that also owns a sign shop. And it's not easy to find that. So I'm really excited about talking with Russell today and kind of wrapping up this whole series around branding and kind of clarifying marketing and all that stuff. So it's going to be a cool episode. So hang on everyone and listen to it. But before we get started, we wanted to say a very special thank you to our sponsors at Inktavo. So if you aren't familiar with Inktavo, it is a family of products. Sign Tracker is one of them. So you could go to Inktavo and find Sign Tracker through there. Go to sign-tracker.com and try it free. They also have Graphics Flow, which I've been learning a lot about lately since I'm doing a lot of trade shows. And it is a really cool application, especially if you are needing some design tools and some support around design. There are thousands and thousands of vectored clip art and logos and fonts and just a really great way to organize your own design. So check out Graphics Flow. And then of course they have other products there as well too. So again, go to inktavo.com and learn more.
Awesome. And as always, thanks to you guys for watching and tuning yes. in and subscribing. I would say we couldn't do it without you, but technically we could, there just wouldn't really be a reason. I talk to my dad enough as it is, so there's no reason to record things with him if it wasn't for you guys. So thanks so much.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's a wrap. So let's get started and we'll bring on Russell.
Hey guys, so today we're talking to someone I know super well. You guys obviously don't know him that well, but hopefully you'll know him a little bit better after today. I see him every day. In fact, that's why I'm sitting in a different room because we work in the same room. So today we're going to talk to Russell Toynes. And what are we going to talk to him about?
We are going to talk to Russell, who is my favorite son-in-law, by the way. My only son-in-law. Yeah. But anyway, we're going to talk to Russell, who is a branding expert, but that also owns a sign shop. So we felt like he would really have a lot to contribute to the subject about what it means to build a brand for your sign company.
Well, thank you. I wouldn't call myself an expert, but I've done it a few times and people have paid me money. So sure. Well, yes, my name is Russell Toynes. I am the co-owner of Studio Zo. I am the husband of Elizabeth and the son-in-law of Joe. I am also
a little nepotism going on.
Just a little bit. But, you know, like you said, if I'm the best, you know, might as well. Right. I'm also a adjunct instructor at ACC where I teach portfolio design, which I have now since 2015. And I am the president of American Institute of Graphic Artists Austin chapter. So AIGA Austin. I'm the president of them. And yeah, I stay busy. I'm also a dad. I have an adult daughter that I am still very much parenting. So I stay busy, but I love everything that I do because I'm passionate about design. I'm passionate about solving problems. And I get to do this amazing work with my wife and sometimes with my father-in-law. And yeah, I get to do fun things. So what do you want to know about branding?
Before we kind of get into that, what led you to Studio Zo? Because there's a background, you know, there that kind of led you into signage. And it wasn't just me pulling you in because I didn't want to go there.
No, I actually pulled you in back in, unfortunately. So I've been in design for almost 20 years now. And I just got in because I needed literally to make some income. And then as I started designing, I realized I had some pretty good taste. My skills were lacking at times. So I went to school for design, and that's actually where I learned a little bit more about the business, of that how to properly present work and concepts and things like that. And as soon as I graduated, I went to a small little kind of startup company called Dell. And that was before it was Dell Technologies. It was Dell Inc. I came on in 2011, January of 2011. And I was hired as a brand designer on the brand team. And I joke and say a little startup, but honestly, it felt like a startup. We were only a team of 12, and we were managing the entire global brand of Dell. We were rolling it out globally. We were training various business units. I would have to get on at 9 o'clock at night, Liz, you remember, and I would have to train folks in Japan on how to properly use the Dell logo, the Dell font, the colors, all that, because prior to this team being formed, Dell had over 250 different logos out in the marketplace. So it was just a very, very fractured brand. And so they put this team together. We not only designed it, we created assets, we created marketing, we managed the brand, we were stewards of the brand. But I found myself in spaces. Dell does a lot of events and a lot of pop-ups. And then also there's a lot of Dell headquarters or a lot of Dell offices. And so I found myself, for some reason, they just kind of picked me to manage the Dell brand in spaces and places. And I started realizing that there was a huge disconnect to how a brand was being represented in the real world versus how it was online or how it was on print. And so after doing that for 5.5 years, where I truly believe I got my master's of the business of design, because that's when you understand how important design is to a major company. That's when I thought, hey, I see that there's an opportunity for us to do this for a lot of people, smaller people, lots of companies. And so that's when I was like, hey, Liz, remember that time when you said you didn't want to get in the sign industry? Hear me out.
Were you drawn to signs because of the spaces, the work you were doing in spaces?
Absolutely. I mean, I just found myself like I had knowledge that, you know, just kind of through osmosis by being around you and Liz, I had knowledge. And then the knowledge that I had from brand and design and the Dell brand, I was able to take all the knowledge of materialities and hierarchy and looking at distance and just like how signage works and the engineering behind it and use that knowledge to provide critique and direction and design for those certain applications, that it was just like, I can do this for everybody. And it's not easy. So a lot of designers, unfortunately, live on a screen and they don't ever really get to see their work in the physical space. And I had done that for 5.5 years for a variety of things that I felt like I had this kind of, I don't know, just instinct to be able to, to be 100% honest with everybody, I have never built a sign in my life. I still haven't built a sign in my life. I've done some vinyl, but that's about it. But I promise you, like, I get it, right? I don't have to be the one to get my hands on it to know how it's engineered, how it's built, because I've been around them, I've touched and feel and see and all that is so being able to design signage with that brand in mind is awesome. It really, really is. But before I do that, I have to understand the brand.
On our last episode, we talked a lot about and the article that was written for Sign Builder Illustrated, which I know everyone has read and everyone's listened to the episode. So
I actually did. I did actually read that article. It was great.
Well, it was mostly about Joe and I's thoughts on how to name your company, importance of the name of the company, and what goes into that. But I'd really like to understand from someone who's looking at it from a brand perspective, what are the important key factors to consider when determining what the name of your company was going to be? And then how does your why contribute to that decision, or does it?
Yeah, naming a company is is like, you know, everyone sits around, like, let's be honest, right? Most sign companies are like the last name of that family or whoever owns it, right? Or, you know, it might be some acronym, right? Like, you know, ABC signs, you know, or sign builders. No offense to Sign Builders Illustrated, but it might just be something very overt, like, you know, we need to tell people what we do. Sure, that can absolutely work, right? But then essentially you're competing in a big pool for just basically commodity. You're treating yourself like a commodity. I'm signed ABC and you're ABC sign.
Right. Well, here's the thing. And I think that's why this whole conversation is important. And that first question, we can continue to talk about it. But before we get too deep into all these questions, I'm going to pull out my handy dandy clipboard here. People send us questions all the time. And there's three different things that come up, you know, branding, marketing, and sales. And I think all these questions will kind of clarify that. But here's one, for example, Creative Edge. How do I market my sign shop? Here's another one, Metalheads. How do I get more customers? And then Eric, who's a sign shop owner, didn't give a sign shop name, but I don't want to give his last name. How do I sell more signs? So I think a lot of sign shop owners, you know, they come from a technician background. If you haven't watched the episode with Mike Stevens that we did, was great. And, you know, here's a person that transitioned from a technician into sign shop ownership. But a lot of these folks don't have obviously extensive design background like you do, or branding, you know, managing brand experience, and they don't understand really technically the difference between branding, what that means, and what are the key factors in considering a brand, and then where does marketing fit around that brand, and then what does it mean to sell, you know, and bring people in. So as we're kind of thinking through these questions, let's think about that. Because I think at the end of this conversation with you, if we can clarify that in the minds of sign shop owners, it's great. It'll be super helpful.
I'll make that super, super simple for all your listeners. Branding is who you are. Marketing is what you wear. And sales is how you communicate, how you reach people. You know who you are, Joe. You absolutely know, but you might wear a different t-shirt one day. You might wear your hairstyle a different day. That doesn't change who you are. It just changes maybe how you look today. Same thing as Elizabeth can change her glasses and people don't go, who the hell is that? Right? They know that it's Elizabeth. She just has different glasses. When you have a solid brand, you can market. You can try different campaigns. You can tailor your marketing to certain audiences. And they still know who you are. It's not a, oh my gosh, we're changing the color of our logo. We're changing our logo. Through consistency, that's how you know. When you meet somebody one time, you meet who they are. When you meet them a second time, if they're different, you start to wonder, do I know this person? That your brand is a living, breathing thing.
So if I was a sign shop owner and I was coming to you and, you know, let's say I was a fabricator, you know, and I loved making channel letters. I saved my money. I bought a channel letter bending machine. I got a welder. I'm going to make channel letters. I'm the nicest guy in the world. And I want to build this in my vision is to build this big wholesale channel letter company or whatever, banners, whatever it might be. How would you teach me? How would you help me develop a brand? Like, what would be the things that owner needs to think about? Or what are some questions that you would draw out of them so that you can understand what they wanted or what they needed for a brand?
So I think the first thing everybody needs to ask themselves is, like Elizabeth hinted at earlier, the why, right? Why? Why am I going to, me, person who needs channel letters, why am I going to buy them from you, right? And so if you're like, I'm cheaper, okay. So if that's your differentiator, you're going to be the cheapest, right? Then you have to look like you're the cheapest. Right. You have to look like you're the cheapest because essentially you're competing with other people who are also saying they're cheaper. And so how do you do that silently without having to say we're the cheapest? Right. And it doesn't mean you have to look ugly. It doesn't mean you have to look bad. You just have to convey that. Same thing as if you want to be the best, right? Instead of the cheapest, you want to convey that in your naming. You want to convey that in your logo and how you present yourself. So I think we sometimes think how we present ourselves is the clothes. That's the marketing, right? How you present yourself is, if you had to think about building your own personal body, right? Is you have your physical identity, how you wear your facial hair, how you wear your hair on your head. How do you build your body? If you're a runner, if you're not a runner, if you exercise, those are the things that make you, right? And then the clothes, you're going to change daily sometimes, right? Maybe not so much a marketing, but you're going to do a marketing campaign. So I first ask you is, who are you? And if you go, I'm, you know, the channel letter guy. Okay. Is that the name of your business? Yeah, I think that'd be cool. Okay. So all you do is channel letters. Well, I also do banners. But do you understand that we're going to think you're the channel letter guy and you're not going to get cabinets if you differentiate, if you make that your identity. So making sure that you understand who you are first. And that is the hardest thing for a lot of businesses is they don't sit down and write that down. Like, who am I? And I teach portfolio design in my students' first exercise is, it's not really an exercise, it's a project because they have to roll through with it and apply it, is they have to create a personal brand story or a personal identity. And if you don't have like a mental breakdown, then you're not doing it right. You should be constantly questioning who you are during the process of building a brand for your company. And not necessarily who you are, but who is this? It should be like an entity and you have to write a backstory. You know, we're the best this. We sell the best channel letters. We do the best this, we do that. And I have a channel letter bender set, but we can do so much more, right? And having to write that narrative and then go, now let's pick a name. And that's when maybe the name is, you know, RNL Assigns. That could work. Right. But what happens when you pass it on to your daughter and she ends up being a Toynes? Right. So thinking about that, it could be, is it family name necessary? Do I want to differentiate? Do I want my name tied to it? That's another thing, right? Is that, you know how it is, right? When you're the face of a company and it's tied to you, people are like, I want to talk to Joe, right? I only want to work with Joe. And you're like, but we have like 20 other people to work with. Like, you know, no, Joe, I want to talk to Joe, right? I want to talk to Mr. McDonald right now. And so, but if you name it something else, like, you know, I don't know, Ranger Signs, right? Then there, no one's looking for Mr. Ranger, right? No one's looking for Mrs. Ranger. They're working with Ranger Signs. And so the ownership can change. It can evolve. It can be something that is not tied to an individual and it can grow its own identity, which is super important nowadays because you want to, a lot of companies have people who own those companies and therefore are doing bad things. And because people know they own those companies then get boycotted. I don't know. And so, you know, understanding that when you tie your identity to your business, there are repercussions and there's benefits.
You know, that reminds me of that show Miracle Workers, which is just such a left field reference, but there's a show, Miracle Workers. I think it was like every season's a different, like completely different show. And one of the seasons, the last names of every person was their profession. So someone was like Michael Shitgetter. And it was like, that's what he did every day was he went and collected people's waste and got rid of it. So it's like, but it's so true. And that's a very simple way to kind of propose it to people. But when you're so tied to the identity of your company or your company so tied to your own identity, how do you ever separate them? How do you ever become something different? Or how do people, you know, for our company, we've tried really hard and not done a great job of making other people in our company shine and it not just be us. So that way, if we needed to like not be there for a week, people weren't like, well, I need to talk to Russell or I need to talk to Liz. Like, how do you take a vacation if everyone just wants to talk to you?
Exactly. And outside of the name, like that's just the first thing that people often get tripped up on. Outside of the name is like, what do you want? How do you want to present yourself? Like I said, are you the cheapest? Are you the best? Are you the most creative? Are you the most reliable? Are you, are you representing where you're from? Right. So are you from Texas? Maybe that's important to your identity. Maybe that's important to your audience. Being able to kind of understand like what makes you, you, and since your business, you.
So and it sounds like kind of like what you're talking about is your vision and your mission statement.
Yeah, I was just going to ask that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and it's something we really didn't talk about in our last episode. But yeah, how important do you think developing those are? You know, how important do you think it is to develop those first before you develop your name or your brand?
So what's kind of funny, right, is you absolutely can start a brand and you can start a business with like nothing, right? You can go to 99 Designs or some gobbledygook and pay $5 Fiverr and buy and get some off the shelf, you know, crap logo, and you can call it, you know, ABC Signs, and you can go to market. Absolutely. Absolutely. And you're going to get with that, what you get for that. Right. And you can do the mission statements and the mottos and all that. And that's not going to mean, that doesn't guarantee you're going to be better either. Right. They've said that if you floss, you live like, I don't know, like 10 years longer than someone who doesn't floss. Right. And so it sounds a little bit like BS, because you're like, how does flossing directly relate to your life expectancy?
I floss and water pick, by the way. So I'm thinking when
you're going to live forever.
Overkill.
But the thing is that the reason why they say that is that the act of flossing is only part of a series of other acts that show that you care about your body and that you're mindful of your health. So the act of thinking through all these questions and creating a mission statement and values and all that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to have a better business just because you did those things. But because you're doing those things, you're also going to be doing other thoughtful things for your business. You're also going to be strongly considering the decisions you make about your business instead of moving haphazardly and not thinking through these decisions. And so a mission statement is one of those kind of like keystone species, so to speak, in building a brand. And that is, who are we? Like, what drives us? What motivates you? Right. In a fun way. Right. And I mean this very lightheartedly, so hopefully no one's offended. Building a business is kind of like building a cult. Right. And you are convincing other people to leave their current employer or trust that you're going to give them a job and they're going to join with you. They're going to join on your mission, on your vision. And so you got to give them something to believe in. It's not just a paycheck. People can get a paycheck anywhere. Have you seen what Buc-ee's is offering people? You know? I've often considered working at Buc-ee's after getting gas and seeing that they're paying, you know, managers $100K. And I'm like, I could do this.
Yeah.
But the people.
Plus think of all the, you know, kettle corn you'd.
Absolutely. Buc-ee nuggets. But you think about it, right? Like, you're creating something for people to get behind. And so you got to give them a mission. And if they don't know what their mission is and you don't know what their mission, how do you know you've achieved it? How do you know you're headed in the right direction? And so mission statements are so important to building your brand. And it doesn't have to be lofty. It doesn't like, we're going to tackle the world. It can just say, we're going to be the best channel letter provider in Southern Indiana, right? That could be it. And that could be, and that's your goal. It doesn't have to be super lofty, change the world. But without a mission, how do you know? How do you get people on board with what you're trying to build?
Talk about Studio Zo.
So I think that's a great next question. You know, it not specific to Studio Zo, but what does that mean, right? That's not a word people know. That's not, so what's kind of, you know, we've talked about it's important to have your why and who you are and be able to communicate that through your name. But what about uniqueness versus ease of memorability, ease of pronunciation,
ease of spelling?
Yeah. Well, okay. And then also, you know, mission statement, and how does that play into the name and all everything you're doing? Because I, like for sign, my sign company that I had, we were a SignTech International, right? Which isn't exactly the sexiest name on the planet. And our, you know, our mission statement was sign solutions that work. And very 1990s, obviously, yeah. Right?
Was that your mission statement or your tagline?
Well, it was our tagline, but it was also our mission statement too. Like internally, you know, we
sign solutions that work.
Right.
So let me ask you this. It sounds like a tagline, but how does Dan in the shop, how does he execute that? How does he wake up and say, sign solutions that work?
Because our passion was to make sure that whatever, yeah, that they worked, right? That our customers were really taken care of. And so it was the basis for our internal motivation. But then, yes, it was also a tagline too. But
it tells people what you offer, right? And taglines are can be different than the mission statements, and you can always change a tagline. But essentially, the mission, and you can evolve a mission, but the mission should be something that is kind of a guiding light, kind of a thing that pushes everybody. So, let's talk about studios real quick. So, to be honest with you, I'm super, super conceptual, right? Like, I can't do anything without a humongous why. And there's got to be like 7 degrees of connection, and everything has to work. And sometimes I can get too deep in the weeds on things because like it's super heady and conceptual. And people are like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize that. And if you look at it upside down and all this stuff. That being said, when forming Studio Zoe, I, just like everybody else, was struggling with a name. And I thought, oh, I'll call it, my name, or I will call it, Heyday was like, because it was like, when it gets celebrated, whenever you put a sign up, everybody knows here who's watching this, when you install a sign, like the owners and everybody's out there, it's like the most exciting, it's like a birthday, right? And so I wanted to like have this concept of like it being like a party and it being like a moment, like a christening or a, like a birth or whatever, and it was a Heyday, it was exciting. That name was taken. But I sat down and I said, who are we? I said, we're a hybrid, right? We're a hybrid of design and signage. Most people only do signage or they just do design. But there was nobody that I knew of that had expert knowledge in signage and expert knowledge in design, and we're putting them together. And so I thought, like, this is a hybrid. And I started researching all sorts of like hybrids. And there was like Liger, right? And all these things. And I was just like, well, we're not aggressive and I don't like giving off that energy. And then there was like, all sorts of other, labradoodles and whatever like that. And so
there is such thing, by the way, as a catcoon.
I researched that. A catcoon. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That, yeah.
Also, because cats and raccoons, I saw a Cavapoo today.
Okay.
It was cute.
Okay.
That's all. It was great.
Cavapoo and catcoon. Yes. Mm-hmm. So yes.
Could have been that.
But for us, we had to really look at it. And in my research, I found the Zoe, DZO, and which is a hybrid of a yak and a cow. And they're intentionally bred in like the Himalayas and Nepal and all that, because this hybrid is actually a greater than the sum of its parts. So when you breed them, you're actually bigger than cattle. They're stronger than yaks. They grow more fur. They grow more meat. They produce more milk. They're more agile. They're like better, right? And so I was like, that's exactly us. Like you have the branding leg. You have the signage leg. You put them together and we can move faster. We can do better. And so that was Studio Zoe. That was the concept behind Studio Zoe. And then, who doesn't like a bison looking yak thing? Who, it's not aggressive. It's not anything, but it's kind of interesting looking. The shit thing is, I'm not going to lie, is for like the first 3 years of Studio Zoe, I got mad when people would read it and go, this is Russell with Studio DZO. And I'd be like, it's not an acronym. It's a read through, like it's Zoe. And people like, oh yeah. And then they would say it again and it just becomes a thing. And I had to stop myself and go, okay, at least they're spelling it right. Because if they're spelling it right, it means they can go to studiozoe.com and they can write Studio Zoe on a check. And so,
except for the one person that spelled it Studio
Za. But
that became a great meme for the whole company. So even that was fine.
Well, let's talk a little bit about how important is it for uniqueness when, thinking about a name and a brand?
Well, that's a good question. I think we all know the first importance is copyright, right? Copyright infringement, all that. Like you can't just go, I'm also this person, right? So, unfortunately, there's a lot of things that are already out there in the marketplace that's, and there's a lot of people squatting on things and things like that. So having uniqueness is not only essential to avoid getting lawsuits and things like that, but also differentiate. So, back in the days, and I know sign guys are listening to this going, yeah, that's not that long ago, but Yellow Pages, right? People would name their business AAA Plumbing because it puts you top of the list on the Yellow Pages or in the White Pages, right, of businesses. And so, those days are gone now. We don't have to compete alphabetically with anything anymore. So having a name is important, but a name that people can identify. It doesn't matter what it is. It's through consistent use concept helps, right? People love a story. If you can give them the, if they can give you the time, you can tell a story. But if, even if it is ABC signs, right? Cool. It, a name is a name until it's more, and you make it more by consistent use of it. So it, you may not, you might literally say Indiana signs, right? And Indiana signs might be available. Cool. Are you from Indiana? Yes. Okay. Then it makes sense. But if you said Indiana signs and you were in Texas and there was no back history for that, people would be like, why did you do that? Oh, it sounded good, right? And sometimes that, oh, that sounded good, sounds like you just didn't give a damn. And so, you know, being able to actually put in some thought into
or
that.
Or didn't name, even know how to think about it. Exactly.
Exactly. And if you don't know how, and you know, we're a branding and design studio first that does signs. It's hard for us to not do our, you know, our house well first, right? And so it's important for you to think about the uniqueness of your name, but also understand people still have to spell it. And if it's like a weird spelling or unconventional spelling, or you got like dashes or dots or whatever, you're creating unnecessary roadblocks for people to mistype your URL or mishear what you're saying, right? If you're like, you know, we're back signs, but it's spelled like Bach, but you say it back. That's your, that you can say what you want. It's pronounced this way. What are most people going to do? And so just being mindful of the user, right? Your user is your customer. How are they going to hear that? How are they going to see that? And then you build out your, the, now you have a name, right? Which is like naming a child, but that child grows into a person and that person has its own personality and identity. You got to fast track that when you're building a brand.
So I think that that's kind of moving us into the next section. We've talked about names at this point. You guys, I think, get it. Between the episode last time that Joe and I really went into that and then the insight that Russell's given us, that's all really great. We have a name. We're there. But for someone who's just starting or has never owned a company before or just never thought about this before, what's the difference between a brand and a logo?
Okay. So a lot of times people think logos are brands. A brand is how you feel, right? Or how your customers feel. A logo is what they see, is how they know that they are buying or working with that person that made them feel that way, right? So if you think about a logo is that seal that confirms the assumptions you've already have. You get those assumptions by working with people. And that's what the brand is. The brand is how you present. So how does your company present? So give you an example, right? Are we allowed to say Disney? Are we going to get sued?
Okay. We love Disney.
We talk about it a lot.
We love Disney. Yeah.
So if you think about it, right, let's just take the Mickey Mouse logo, right? The Disney logo. That's just three circles. That's all it is. But those three circles have been used so much that it earns Disney billions of dollars in just licensing, putting it on anything. People will pay money to put it on stuff so that they can make more money because it has it on there. Three circles. That's all it is. But it's three circles that are well done, that are rooted in a brand. And that brand is the feeling that Disney has created for people for since 1955, 50 something, 56, something like that. So if you think about it, right, you can have three circles. You can see a Ricky Rouse and not a Mickey Mouse and know that's not legit Mickey, right? That's not new, legit Disney. And so that's what I'm talking about is when you're building a brand, that is solid. Your brand is solid. Your logo can be updated and no one's going to be like, I don't know who this company is. Because essentially, when you go to that bank or you go to McDonald's or you go to any place that you are familiar with, you have an expectation because they've set that expectation. Your expectation has nothing to do with the logo. The logo just confirms that you were in the right place.
So let's talk about that for one more second, because I love that. So when it's for Disney, it's easy, right? It's an easy example, because you go to the parks, you watch their movies, you see the three circles, the feelings, you get the feelings, and it's all part of the experience. And so McDonald's, same thing, right? You go in, it's the smells, it's the French fries, it's the premature death from heart attack that you're planning on. Oh, erase that. we'll get sued from McDonald's. I love McDonald's, forget it. But you know what I mean? So for a sign shop, how do they create that? Is it through the work, the website, how do they, you know, present the brand when people come into the shop? What are some things that a sign shop should think about when it comes to building that feeling?
Yeah, that feeling is like, what is that feeling that you want to convey, right? For a lot of sign shops, and I'm not dogging anybody who is this, but a lot of sign shops is just commodity, right? It's just like, I just want to sell signs. I just want to sell signs, make signs, get money. That's it, right? Then say that. Like, say that. Sell signs, make signs, get money. Like, that's your tagline. Boom, right? Like, it sounds crazy, right? But say that and people are like, I get it, right? I like these guys. Like, they're straight to the point, no bullshit, right? And like, that's, if that's you, if you walk in, you're like, what do you want, right? And you're like, I want a channel letter set. Why? And you're like, because it's big and you got it. Here you go, right? We sell signs, make signs, get money. If that's you, if that's how you want to go about it, own it, right? Like, own it. And people are going to be like, you know that company? They're straight shooters. They don't bullshit you. They tell you what it is. They don't argue. Then they'll go back and forth. Kind of like CarMax, right? CarMax, you walk up there to see the sticker price. They're not haggling with you. You know that. So if that's you as a sign company, then be that, right? Be that.
I'm super cheap sign, super cheap channel letters. You come into the shop. You have five different types of channel letters. You pick one of the five. The size.
That's and it's the company. The door. Super Cheap Signs is a company and they tell you exactly what they are, you know? And so it's like, there's nothing wrong with being that, right? But own it. Don't pretend to be luxury and then be out there bidding at the lowest price and then coming in and wondering why there's a disconnect between your brand. But also too, you can establish your identity and evolve it slowly as you evolve as a business. You're not rooted, but your values and your principles hopefully grow as well, right? They grow with you and you don't start whittling away your values and you're like, we used to be this, but now we're this, right? Consistency is so important. And I talk with my students all the time about this, is that especially if you're building a new brand, you're making an impression one time. Two times, three times, four times, five times through social media, going to expos, being out in the field and having that truck or having that uniform or whatever, you're making impressions. That's how people are going to see it. But no one is going to go, I want to work for that company because of the logo. I promise you, they're not. They're going to say, I want to work for that company because I saw the quality of work that they did. When I contacted them, they were nice. They were friendly. They understood my problem. They spoke straight to me. Whatever your value propositions are, they did that, right? And then they followed through with that work. The logo might go, that's also a cool logo, but that's it, right? If Nike shoes fell apart, people wouldn't be buying Nike, right? And so the value of the brand has been upheld. So now that logo actually has value now.
Well, I kind of have one quick question, and that's from what it sounds like, a logo is just one piece of a brand. So what, like, I know we've talked about it before, brand kits. So that just seems like a logo is one part of that brand kit. What else is involved? And you can break it down as simply as possible.
Yeah. So a brand kit, typically, like if somebody said, hey, can you build me a brand? We can build you a brand identity, right? Which is a visual identity. Building a brand is something that they do, right? They build a brand. We just create the brand identity, the visual identity of it. But those are going to be your logo, right? And that's going to be your primary, secondary, tertiary, and so on and so on if you need to. So your logo is not just a one thing, right? A circle, right? Because a circle requires a square for it to fit in. What if you only have this much space, right? How does that circle, all of a sudden now that circle looks like a period. So you got to have a linear logo. You got to have your name. You got to be able to read your name on a black piece of paper, on a white piece of paper, and from far away, from up close. They need to be able to read your name. And legibility is important. So that's why you have a variety of different logos. Like your primary might be the one that you lead with the most. Your secondary might be a supportive thing for something smaller. Your tertiary might be in a special use case. And then you got like your avatar, which might be like your Instagram icon or your favicon icon on your website, on the tab and all that. So, or like might be the standalone mark. I don't know if we have one over here or not, but, or like the logo here, put the logo on the screen there. But you can't like this. Here, I have one right here like this, right? Like that doesn't mean anything to anybody until they know what it is. right? So you can't just go put this out in the marketplace and people are like, oh my God, I'm going to go spend money with those people, right? They don't know who what this is, right? But through consistency, by it being supported and having Studio Zone next to it 100 million times, all of a sudden this actually has some value. Like I said, the Nike check doesn't mean anything until it has some value. So there's a logo, but then there's also typography, right? So typography is a silent way of saying systems, right? So if by using the same typeface for all of your print materials, all your online materials, through all of your contracts and everything, you're showing consistency. Consistency shows reliability. Reliability builds trust. Trust builds dollars, right? So essentially, you are showing that you are a reliable, stable company who knows these silent things all build up that show you can count on me because I know who I am. I'm stable. I'm established.
That's good. That's good.
Okay, so you have a logo and you have
font, type color, and those are the basics typically, like a consistent color, right? Knowing that if you have an orange, what specific orange? That way no one else is out there using a different orange. You're wearing the orange. So when people know that's the orange, right, that we wear, or that's the yellow that we wear, or that's the blue that we wear, Dell Blue, right? We actually worked with Pantone to have our specific Dell Blue made. It wasn't actually in the Pantone chart. And like I said, all of these things are just silent ways of you telling your audience, we are reliable. You can trust us. You can count on us. You can give us your money.
So let's talk about telling your audience, because I think that's the difference between the brand and marketing. And so I think sign shop owners need to understand that. Okay, so now, like Liz said, you got your brand, you got your, you know, typography and colors and every, you know, tagline, at least for starters. And that can evolve as your business evolves a little bit. But for the most part, you have all that stuff down and now you understand, you know, what a brand is. And so now it's the activity of getting that brand out into the marketplace, marketing. And we can talk about sales at the very end, but I mean, sales might be a whole nother podcast, but I think marketing, you know, what are some ways sign shops can get their brand out? Initially, if you were to say, would it be just website or brochures or cards or what?
So everything you listed there, right, is what a lot of people think. And where does that stuff go?
I mean, they're tools,
in the
right?
trash. Okay.
Well, they're tools.
No, it goes in the trash. That's where it goes. You know why? Because that's what everybody's doing. So you can put your logo and you can put your name on a piece of paper, on a business card, on a pamphlet. Absolutely. But if that's your marketing strategy, just save your money.
Yeah, no. But where does a sign shop start though? Like what kind of activities?
So what I would say is I'm gonna give you a little story real quick and tell you how marketing works and the value of marketing. So Coca-Cola, I'll give you the example, right? Coca-Cola has a specific shaped bottle because at the time they actually made that bottle that size because they had machines that would pop out that bottle, right? And so that they reverse engineered. And if I'm wrong, sue me, Coca-Cola. no, but they had machines that worked with those bottles. And so they kind of, you know, designed, they used their brand. They used what they had for their brand. Now, the glass story, that's where I'm getting with this. The glass is a specific color. So that way, even thrown on the ground, broken, you know, somebody had a Coke. So the thing is that when you create something and you use it consistently over and over and over again, you build a connection and then people make that connection with your brand. And what we love more than anything else is knowing that other people like things that we like, right? So when you see someone drinking a beer, you go, I might want to try that beer. I've never tried that beer, right? When you see 50 people drinking that beer, you're like, I want to get what they have, right? And so same thing with the soda, with the candy bar. If there's a line outside of a donut shop, you're thinking those donuts must be good, right? And so when you see somebody, when you see a sign and maybe on the side of it, there's a little logo, and then you're going through all your town and you see that logo on everybody's sign, when you need a sign, you only know of one company that you've been seeing over and over and over again, right? So maybe it's placing your logo on the side there next to the UL sticker or something like that. Maybe It's having vans, right? Maybe it's going around town and having every one of your employees has a specific neon green van and the logo's on the side of it. And they're always pristine and they're always clean. And your guys pop out and they're wearing a black and neon green jumper and no one else is doing that, right? And you're like, holy crap, who are those guys that showed up like Ghostbusters, right? So finding unique ways of connecting and making an impression is marketing. You can change the color of the van 5 years from now. You can change the color of the emblem or the logo on the side 10 years from now. But the marketing is a temporary thing. It's an attempt to reach people.
And I think it's thinking outside the box too, right? So it's especially for someone just starting out. It's right now, if you drive around town in Austin and see 20 cool signs and it has a Studio Zoe sticker on it, yes. You know, the sign's unique. It's really cool. There's extra touches. I've seen some of the work that you guys have done with the backs of the signs being graffitied and just cool stuff, right? But for the person that hasn't sold their first sign yet, or maybe, you know, what, you know, how are they? I mean, when I say website and brochure and business cards, maybe
those are table stakes.
They're just tools a little bit.
But you have to have a website. You have to have social media, right? It's just table stakes.
For example, here's a story just really fast. And then, you know, just to think about this, I remember this was years ago in Austin, but a big design firm, marketing firm wanted to get the business of HomeAway. And I think I saw pictures of this and everything. They took a bunch of people from their team, went to the HomeAway office with picket signs that said, "We love you. We want your work. We want to be your marketing company," or whatever it was, but it was creative. Like, they just thought outside the box. HomeAway ended up hiring them. And, you know, I think for a sign person that maybe it's making that experience special for that very first banner, which might seem silly, but, you know, maybe it comes with a handwritten card that says, you know, and then that person's going to feel like, man, I didn't just order a banner. I got, or throw in a few extra little stickers with it or something, but something that's special that helps that person have that feeling that you were talking about so that they tell the next person about how you made them feel. Ultimately, I think you're right. People will start recognizing the good work, and then that's part of the brand building.
Well, yeah. I mean, your reputation will hopefully precede you, right? Where you start doing good work, it leads to more good work. But, you know, if I had to say, hey, you're brand new, you got yourself a large format printer and you got a plotter and you're just going to be, you know, like a banner company, right? Let's just use that for an example. Yeah, you're starting with a banner company, or there's a lot of people, there's a lot of money in it, right? A lot of money in architectural graphics and things like that. How do you differentiate yourself, right? How do you make yourself special? Well, you know, first off, is there a concept, right? Is there something that people can just latch onto, right? So Rocket Banners, right, here in Austin, right? They had a designer in-house and he created a whole campaign that had like a little astronaut, right? And that makes sense. It's a rocket. So now you get to see this astronaut and you make a connection with it. There's things you can do. Like you said, packaging, like that customer experience. How good does it feel when like something feels wrapped or cared for or presented nicely to you when it's just a banner, right? And it's like, if you could take an extra 5 minutes, you know, and give somebody a different experience, or maybe you deliver, right? Maybe you deliver and that might be something a little bit different than the other vinyl shop down the street, right? Or maybe you have coffee. Or maybe you have little cookies, right? And the cookies are all you did. So I'll tell you a little story. And we did a trade deal with a very famous cookie lady here in Austin. And Elizabeth comes back from this woman opens her second brick and mortar. Elizabeth comes back and says, "I sold the job." And I was like, "Great." And she's like, "It's all trade." And I was like, "Okay." And it was like $800 of cookies. And I'm like, "What the hell?"
Okay. First of all, that's not how you do a trade deal.
It was brilliant, Elizabeth.
Second of all, if it's cookies, that's how you do a trade deal.
So I'm sitting here thinking, what the hell are we going to do with $800 in cookies, right? I didn't realize that the reach of this woman's designs and the cookies and everyone knew her. So we started getting, whenever we had dog and pony shows where we'd go to agencies and we, you know, talk about the work we do, we would just go and get a dozen, because we had a gift card, an $800 gift card. We'd go and get a dozen of these cookies and bring them to the office. And like, people came out of the woodwork. People who were not even wanting to be part of it, people in accounting that didn't even want to be in this meeting, all of a sudden were like, "Oh, there's some cookies there, you know, and they're like, oh, I know these cookies and everything. Okay, I'm gonna say her name. Her name is Haley Cakes. So yes, they're like, oh, Haley Cakes. And they would just like, you know, just, you know, crawl over each other to get them. And I didn't realize, and it became a thing where we started bringing these cookies to meetings and people anticipated them. And then we got custom cookies made for us. And so it was just a little thing that differentiated us, that we understood what people liked. Our audience liked cookies at that time, and we were giving them cookies and they looked great.
Yeah. And you know, I think a lot of times people think there's this huge science behind marketing, and there is, there's things that you need to know what to do, but sometimes it's just throwing a bunch of poop up against the wall, see what sticks,
and hopefully it's not poop. And I think that's, but I appreciate the analogy, because if you think about it, right, sometimes
that's creativity. Sometimes
that's what people do, is they do something that they're just trying something, but without intent, right? They're just wasting money.
Yeah, I think if the intent is to, you know, get their brand out there, they're going to have to, I guess what I'm trying to say is they got to get a little bit creative, think outside the box a little bit. And especially when you're first getting started, you know, to bring out that feeling that you were talking about.
Let me tell you something. I get a lot of emails all the time. I get emails from companies that say, you know, buy our aluminum, you know, hire me for SEO, all sorts of stuff. I get tons of emails and I delete. I'll also have a template that says, thank you, but no thank you. Please remove me from your mailing list. I got this in the mail. Don't show this. I got this in the mail.
No, we're just going to cut that out.
Yeah, I don't need people knowing where I live. And it says, thank you. You know who it's from? From Gemini, right? Like these people, like we order Gemini all the time, but she read my article and just wrote me a thank you letter and just said, hey, I look forward to meeting up with you. Let's talk. I held on to this and that made a difference. Snail mail makes a difference. That is a 55 cent
investment. Snail mail that's handwritten. Yes. I think there's a big difference. Like
not direct mailers.
No, that's not it. So I think that, you know, overall, you know, for everybody, we kind of have a better understanding, right? Like we know we need a mission statement or a vision. With that vision, we can start to develop our why, and our why develops our name. And then our name is one piece of our branding kit, right?
Mm-hmm. Inspires your logo.
Right. And then we use that branding kit to help market ourselves. And then, you know, like Joe said, what's the difference between marketing and sales? Well, sales, I think, can be a whole other discussion, but part of what marketing does is it brings in natural sales. It brings people to you. It attracts them to you.
It does. And that's all. And that's all just, Liz, I think we should do a whole thing on sales. That'd be awesome. But just to tag it onto this right here, the branding is everything Russell talked about. The marketing is everything you just said. And the sales, a lot of it's going to come in naturally as people are attracted to you, but it's the process of bringing those people in and actually selling them stuff. So that's sales. But anyway, we can have another conversation about that, but that's the difference between components.
I think kind of to wrap this up, my question to Russell, though we're going to do our rapid fire questions that we always do, but my last question to Russell is, if you had to start Studio Zoe over again, what would you do differently? Or would you do anything differently?
Oh yeah, I would do. So there's so much I would do differently. So I thought I would have more time, or I had more time in the beginning. So I thought I could do things, the same way. As we got busier and busier, I realized that I couldn't do things the same way. So first thing I would do is I would streamline my offerings. I think in the beginning, we tried to be more than we were experts at, or take on work that maybe wasn't worth the squeeze, right? Just to, you know, get some income coming in. And the problem with that is, you know, you'll have that person who keeps coming back to you and you don't want to disappoint them, but you're kind of like, I can no longer serve you. Like I'm here and you're still here. And I hate to say it like that, but it's like, maybe you should go to the vinyl shop down the street when you used to come to me. So I would definitely be firm in my offerings and not try to be, everything to everybody. And then I also would streamline my processes. So I think I had a lofty, like, this is how we, the journey of a project, right? And the sales and all that. And we were going to do all these things. And the reality is that works if you have one project, right? And you got four people. When you got 40 projects and you got seven people, you can't do all the wonderful special touches that you originally had in mind. And so I would have streamlined that. I would probably go with a different name, but then again, like I've come used to it now. It works with it. But, you know,
it has a good story. It has caused some complications, but it has a good story.
Yeah. Maybe if it was like Liger Signs, people know what a Liger is. I wouldn't have to explain it.
Do you
StudioDZO.com.
That's what, that's what people, I think that there would be some things, but essentially, you know, my why, my mission, my purpose for StudioZO wouldn't change a bit.
Awesome. So Russell, as you know, because you've watched every single podcast episode we've ever done religiously.
Every one, all of them in totality.
Mm-hmm. Completely, more than once. So we like to end our episodes with the same three rapid fire questions. And we just, this is like that therapy where it's like, say the first thing that comes to your mind.
Okay, this is going to be a warning.
For you, I'm going to say you should have a filter. The first one is...
I'm going to ask the first question.
Okay,
you ask the second question. Is probably more appropriate for you.
Okay.
Top lessons you wished you hadn't learned the hard way.
Owning a sign company?
All right. Next question.
I want to say that I did tell you so. I told you so. Anyway, our next question we like to call happy endings. So what is the happiest reaction to a project you've ever had or just one so bad you were happy it was over?
Oh, okay. the happiest, to be honest with you, it's the silliest thing. It's Strange Works. He like cracked open some like really expensive old vintage like whiskey and like everybody was outside and he hired a drone operator to film the whole thing and a photographer to film the whole thing and everything. And it was like a to do. It was a heyday. And it was just a cabinet sign on the wall. But this was a tech company, a quantum computing company. And they just like it was the biggest thing they had ever seen. Like it was the greatest moment. And that was awesome because it wasn't something we were orchestrating. It was all of them. And so that was awesome. They like toasted and you can see, we even have the video on our social media. And we're like toasting and the drone is flying out. That was the coolest,
I will say that's a pretty darn cool sign though. I live right down the street from that sign and it's a drive by at all time.
It's a cool sign. Okay.
And you make it sound like it was just a sign on the wall. It wasn't. They also let us cut a porthole window into their
concrete building.
Concrete structure to line up with the eyeball in this sign. Like they let us do a lot of fun things on that. Anyway. Okay. The last question.
The last question I'll ask.
I know the answer. So you can ask.
All right. I mean, if you weren't in the sign industry, I'm not saying like go back and do it a do-over, but let's say you're the next Russell Life. If you weren't doing signs, what else do you think you'd be doing?
Well, I mean,
A dream fantasy job or whatever.
Okay. Well, a dream fantasy job. Those are none of those words go. Well, at least one of those career. Words. One of those job words is not job is not a part of my dreams or fantasy. But if I wasn't in the sign industry, right? I mean, I guess I'd still be doing design because that's what I know best. I'm an educator. I'm a community organizer. I like people. I say that at the same time I'm getting exhausted sometimes from people, but I really don't know. I mean, I like books. I like, I like quiet time. I honestly, you know what I would really do if I could do anything and I would own a little farm with little tiny donkeys and we call them dinkies and we would sell mini donkeys to people and the donkeys would have full backstories, kind of like Care Bears, right? And they already came named and you had to rescue like, you know, Bubbles, the little, you know, black and gray mini donkey and they had full backstories and I just sold those on a ranch.
This is absolutely new to me.
Oh, it is not new to me. We've already come up with donkeys, dinkies, and backstories. And we also decided we'd have some dinkies and some donkeys. Yeah. So we could say both.
And I would rent them out for like weddings or like petting zoos and, you know, all that. And like, you know, it'd be a whole South by event where just there'd be like little donkeys. And these are like little bitty donkeys and people would just hang out with them and I just make money. And then, you know, I don't know what could go wrong with donkeys, but you know, if it's work, there's always going to be a problem. So I might joke and say, oh, I wouldn't own a sign industry, a sign business. But I mean, there's nothing more rewarding than helping a small business who got their first brick and mortar. It's not real until they have a sign. And when they have a sign, like it is the most rewarding thing for you to see their dreams come to life. And then when they tell everybody that you did it and those people say, oh, I met so-and-so and they told me, and so I now I'm opening my brick and mortar and I want to use you, like that's cool. Right. And so, yeah. And so we do good work for good people with good people. And that's our mission statement, short and sweet. And so, you know, at Studio Zoe, that's what we rally behind is our team. We believe in good work, and good work isn't just what we do, but who we do it for, why we do it, the quality of the work. There's times where I've spent way more money than I needed to make sure that the product was exactly the way I designed it and intended. There's times where I've gone back and taken down ADA signs that I didn't need to take down just to replace them because they didn't meet my expectations. There's times where I've poured in way more hours than we were compensated for because it had to be good on my terms. And so all this to kind of wrap it up, right, is that building a brand, it's a series of parts, but the number one part is your why and what is the core of who your business is. Once you know that, all this other stuff becomes easy to identify. And then once you have that logo, it's not permanent. You can evolve it. It doesn't define you. What defines you is the actions that you pour into your brand and in your business and uphold that. Marketing, it's temporary. Campaigns, they go out there, you try it, you fail, you try something else. But who you are and your purpose and your why and your vision, that should stay solid.
Excellent. Awesome.
Well, Russell, thank you so, so, so much. I'll see you at dinner tonight, I'm sure, in a few minutes when I leave this room.
Yeah, Russ, thanks so much. We appreciate your help.
Absolutely. Thank you both.